We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Repeats itself, try and you'll succeed.
Here it comes.
You're the best.
All right, this music means we are joined by number one Steelers insider from The Athletic, Mark Cabali, wrapping up OTAs. Our girl Joy Taylor said the Steelers should sign Dalvin Cook. Now, Joy doesn't need me to defend her, but I thought the argument itself had merits before she said a creative offensive coordinator there in Pittsburgh will make it work. I didn't know that was the crux of her argument until our boy intern Dom shared those quotes with us last hour. Mark, are you going to laugh at this idea?
Probably. I mean, it makes sense if, say, Najee was out for the season with an injury. But, I mean, first of all, let's put it this way. Money isn't an issue, right? I mean, if the Steelers wanted to get it done, it would get done. They would find a way. They're, even if they are, 15 under the cap, they still owe money on, you know, the 52nd and 53rd guy. They owe money to the practice squad people and some of the draft picks. So they can still get that done. But, you're talking about a guy. First, how much would it take for you to get him in? You're not going to overpay. The Steelers don't overpay for anything. I'm just saying, if they wanted to get him in here, I mean, does he want to come?
$6 million.
Do you want to pay him double what you're paying your 20th overall pick and who you've committed to? Probably not, unless it was an absolute need. Especially with he now has options too. I mean,
sure.
He can go home to Miami and be the number one right away. And plus, you have to understand, this is a 28-year-old guy that has 275 touches per season over the past 4 years, coming off a shoulder surgery, 2-3 months ago? I mean, it just doesn't make sense for that at all.
Well, I think what you said about Cook having other options and having other destinations that make more sense is right. But my thing is, from the Steelers' standpoint, if you're going to run the ball and you have money – and there's somebody out there. I think we disagree on this. I think he's a clear upgrade over Najee. I think that's not even really
a discussion.
His
worst year last year looked a lot better still than Najee's anything Najee's done.
I don't think there's a single GM in the league that would say Najee's better than Cook, because there's nothing to base that on, Mark.
I just don't think any other GM in the league would have the 20th overall pick and bring him in just to create competition, just to create a more dynamic backfield for a coach that has proven over his 16 years, he's basically going to use one running back whatsoever.
Now, well, he didn't do that last year.
Well, for the most, what are we looking at? We're still looking at 75% of the time.
Do you think he's going to go back to a much heavier dose of Najee this year, assuming Harris is healthy all year?
It's going to be tough, because I think the star of camp so far, or at least OTAs, what you can glean from it, is Jaylen Warren. He's going to take that second-year step if he has that opportunity. So you have to throw that in there as well, is they do want to use him. I don't know how much they're going to use him in a traditional sense. I'm sure he'll have a series here, a series there, and find some other place to put him at. But, you know, this was in the vacuum, as Mike Tomlin would say, and there was not the 20th overall pick of Najee Harris, and you were going to upgrade your team, and all you had was Jaylen Warren. Absolutely. Dalvin Cook is a home run hitter, and that's the thing that Najee lacks. And when you see the Najee Harris and you see that yards per carry is 3.8, 3.9, the reason for that is because he doesn't bust the 50, 60 yarders like Dalvin Cook's able to do and some of the other players. So he's never going to be a high yards per carry guy, Najee Harris. He's going to be what he is. But I don't know. I don't think you want to upset anything. I hate to say that because you want to create competition.
What are you upsetting? I mean, by that logic,
you're upsetting the offense and how they want to go about it. They want this to be Najee's team, and they've committed in him. You're not going to bring a guy that's established in here and say, well, just in case, you know, we want to take some reps off your view.
Well, do you think Najee Harris is good enough to build your offense around him that way?
It's tough, man. He looked pretty good the second half of last year with a, let's face it, a pretty average offensive line
still,
that was obviously
playing.
It was
still only 4
decent,
yards
right?
a carry, though, Mark. I've heard that a
lot.
But
I'm
like,
telling you, I'm telling you why, though, right? Because what was his long carry? He's never going to have a 4.2,
I know.
4.3.
Well, I guess that's kind of a problem.
Then we need to stop talking. Then he's a first-round pick and pick only. He's not a first-round talent.
I mean, I probably told you, was on your side, what was it, 3 years ago. I don't invest a first-round pick on a guy that you hope plays 5 years, then you move on from him. You know, if I'm using the 20th overall pick, I want a guy who's going to be here 8, 9, 10 years, play to that third contract. And with a running back, you just don't have that. Regardless how good he may or may have not be within this span of 4 to 5 years, that is his ceiling. He's not going to get another contract, I don't believe. They might use a franchise tag on him to or the fifth-year option to push him to 28 or 29 years old. But you don't do that with first-round picks, in my opinion. So I agree with you guys on that he probably shouldn't have been the pick. But that's water under the bridge right now. But
Mark, assuming Omar Khan is the GM for 20 years, do you think 20 years will go by and the Steelers will not pick a first-round running back again in that time?
It all depends. I know a lot of people say, well, you can get running backs everywhere. Yeah, you can get running backs anywhere. But how many of the ones you have to go through who absolutely stink, you know, fifth, sixth rounders, undrafted guys, to get to those stars, those Willie Parkers and potentially Jalen Warrens? I've had like 15 years under Tomlin just looking at guy after guy saying, oh, he might be a good guy that can take some carries, and he turns out to be a bum. So it's not as easy as you can do to grab them. But I mean, I do what they do, but I maybe not do it in the first round. Use a second rounder like Le'Veon, run the wheels off of them, and say goodbye. It's a terrible way to treat a human, yeah. But that's the way it is.
You pay him a lot of money, though. I want to go back to what you said about Warren being the star of camp so far. And you said it's hard to judge Najee and everything else about how their line was bad and how he looked better. Are you convinced Najee's better than Jaylen Warren right now?
Yeah, I think he is. I think the pedigree's there right now. I mean, you have to understand that Jaylen Warren's a guy that had limited reps, you know, throughout his even, you know, early days. And I think Oklahoma State, I think he bounced around some places or not. So he's still learning the position. But you know darn well from that jump from that first to second. You always hear Tomlin, the jump first year to second year. That's very evident in running backs and how they transform their bodies in the off season. You saw that straight up with James Conner. He just looked like a regular dude the first year. The second year, he's like, wow, this guy put some work in, and he's ready for the full load if he needs to ask for, you know, if he needs the running back. If he needs,
so why do you think we never saw that jump from Najee in year two?
I don't know. I mean, he did put on some weight, remember?
Oh, but he got very sensitive about being asked about it.
Yeah, now Le'Veon Bell says he should take that weight off.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm the one to talk here, but he looks like he slimmed down. It doesn't look like he was at the 242 or whatever that number was he said was last year. If he would ever talk to the media, which I guess he has to next week, but he hasn't yet. I'm sure that will be brought up, but I bet you he's more, you know, upper 220s, lower 230s right now, because I don't think he's as big or defined in the quads as he was last year. He came in as a
maybe that'll help him. Maybe that'll help him break a couple longer runs. He won't have so much mass weighing him down. Mark.
Well, that's not what he did at Alabama.
No, I know, right? I know. Believe me, these are all like Exhibit A, B, and C as to why I wouldn't have picked him in the first round for sure. Do you think that Mike Tomlin will learn from last year's mistakes and not make him Harris? That is. Run the ball one time in the preseason. Do you think he will just put him in a nice little happy thing of bubble wrap and let him get ready for week one?
Nah, I think he'll probably have those 8-9 carries.
Whatever. Why? Seriously, I don't mean to be apocalyptic here, but why?
I hear you. I mean, he probably wants to. You can't live in your fears, right? Unless you live in your fears, right? I wouldn't either, probably, but. You have to get him ready in camp, and you could probably get hurt just as much as you do in training camp as you do. I mean, how he got hurt in training camp, he was running, and it looked like somebody grabbed his foot and his shoe fell off, and apparently he hurt his Liz Frank. So it can – I mean, in that regard, it can happen pretty much anywhere. But I would imagine he would be a guy that would be a first-half Buffalo 4-7 type of touch type of guy. Obviously, he's going to want to run the ball and – it's going to be up to Tomlin to say no, and I don't think Tomlin is going to say no to basically anybody on that roster, even Cam Hayward and guys like that that shouldn't even be near the field in the preseason, T.J. Watt, who shouldn't be near the field in preseason. I'm sure they'll all get their a couple snaps here in that Week 2 game.
Mark Cabali, Steelers insider for The Athletic, where there is an article up right now about a 10-year-old kid named Baby Gronk who is being groomed to be the next great tight end. In football. Go check that out.
There's nothing going to go wrong with that, right? Nope. Wasn't there like a Hercules guy or something like that?
Yeah, Richard. His name was Richard Sandrak.
His name was Hercules Hernandez. He used to wrestle the Warlord in the late 80s.
I'm not even talking about most recently. Wasn't there like a little kid?
Yeah, his name was Richard Sandrak. Sandrak. Little Hercules.
What happened to him?
He now just looks like a regular dude. Mm. He has like a man bun, I think, and looks like he is about as good of shape as me or you, Pony, which I'm actually happy for him about.
Well, you know what? They called Pat Freiermuth little Gronk too, and he didn't like that. So
somebody told me the other day that I looked like Freiermuth, and I'm like, that is an insult to Freiermuth.
Absolutely, you look like Freiermuth.
You look like Freiermuth, and you look like Kenny Loggins.
I don't even know what Kenny Loggins. I don't know.
Go look up Kenny Loggins. Look up Loggins, then think about Pony in your mind's eye.
They used to call Nick Vanette Baby Gronk. Remember him, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
They just meant Glenn Gronkowski or Chris Gronkowski.
Yeah. But does this little kid have tattoos? Is that what I saw?
He might.
No, I think they
I don't
have.
Know if they're
like,
real. They might be
those
henna
like
tattoos.
Little henna tattoos, yeah.
Interesting.
I bet he doesn't maybe dump he's like your kid, Mark.
Oh, man. Don't even bring that up. It's about due. It's the weekend.
See you, Mark. Have a good weekend.
All right, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Pony and Muller Power Rankings at 4:45. Got some good ones today. Daniel Vogelback is back in town. Malzie is going to rank the top five portly athletes of all time.
Big hosses. Now, one point of order, this is a minor one. These are people who are not expected to be portly for their job description. Like, I'm not going to say a giant left tackle.
Or Casey Hampton.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Ted Washington.
That was
or
part
Gilbert
of the job
Brown.
Description.
Yeah.
I like that caveat.
Yeah, I just think otherwise I'll just say the fattest four NFL players I can think of. Or five. But no, I'm going with guys who excelled despite not having the physical mold for their
Jerome
job.
Jerome Bettis would be eligible.
Maybe he's on my list already.
Is he?
Maybe. You'll have to wait and find out for the power rankings in 20 minutes.
So I've been met with a lot of hate for what I said about Dalvin Cook, which I expected. Because when Joy Taylor said this yesterday, there were a lot of, I think, vitriolic, venomous things that were said about her that were frankly uncalled for. What Kabali said there about Cook and the Steelers, the argument that I probably hate the most about it is when people say things like, well, it's going to screw up the chemistry, or it's going to offend or upset or disrupt what's going on with Najee Harris because he's a first-round pick. You got to get out of that. Like, I don't think that New England acted that way. Now, Brady clearly is the biggest reason why they won. That's why they have six Super Bowls.
Yep.
But Bill Belichick didn't say, well, Brady's played well, but we did just give $100 million to Drew Bledsoe, and he's the former number one overall pick. So because of that, we have to go back and play him. No, he played the better guy.
Correct.
You can't let how much money you owe a player or where you drafted a player affect who gets playing time, who you sign, who you trade for, etc. And all I've said about the Cook thing is they have cap space. They clearly want to run the ball. And he's better than Najee. So he checks every box. They should consider him. Do I think they'll sign him? No. Because I think Cook will look at other places and think, I'll be the man there. They'll pay me maybe the same or more. And maybe I have a better chance of winning with that team than here.
I don't think what you said on the scale of like things you say that get people angry, of which there are many, so this is a very large spreadsheet I have, I don't even think it was that controversial. It was, they have the room, he's better than what they have, shouldn't they look into it? At the very, you didn't even hammer the table with your fist and say, they've got to sign Dalvin Cook or they're screwing this thing up royally. I think when the team drafts a guy in the first round and talks about how much they like him and talks about how much they want to build their offense around him, who it's a non-quarterback, I think fans put a lot of equity into those comments. And then fans parrot that. And so even though people have seen Najee Harris struggle through two seasons despite getting over 1,000 yards, not even averaging 4 yards a rip, because they know the organization really thinks highly of him, they decide they're going to as well. Dalvin Cook's better than him. That shouldn't be a hard thing to say. Any of us can go to Pro Football Reference and see the numbers. They are what they are. Did Cook have better talent around him? Yeah, probably. In fact, definitely, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Is he also better in a vacuum? Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I don't know what's hard. He probably is going to... In fact, he definitely is going somewhere else for the exact reasons you said, that there will be more attractive, more lucrative destinations. But, like, the notion that the Steelers shouldn't be interested, which is, I think, what the people responding to you are putting out there, like, why would they ever care about this? It's bizarre to me.
If Omar Khan pulled off this con artist like move and all of a sudden we broke in and reported that Dalvin Cook had signed a 2-year deal with the Steelers, are you telling me that the reaction from Steelers fans at that point
no.
are going to be
the chemistry?
I feel bad for Najee Harris. That's not the way professional sports are supposed to work. It's a meritocracy. You get more playing time, you get more money, you extend your career if you're good at your job. So far, Najee Harris is 1-for-2. I thought he had a really good rookie year, even though his numbers weren't great, given the circumstances. I think last year, his numbers were down, in part because of what happened with his coach. But now I'm convinced, after the injuries and everything else and all the mileage, that he's just an average running back.
He doesn't have Mark kind of, Kabali, Mark, like, said something that I thought was odd. He's like,
Mark
well,
did not give Najee a ringing
no,
endorsement.
No, he didn't, but he said, well, the reason his numbers weren't that great, and he wasn't endorsing him. He said, well, it doesn't hit home runs. He's not a huge run. He doesn't rip off huge runs. Yeah, that's a big problem. By the way, like the Steelers' first week opponent, week one, San Francisco, they've benefited from doing exactly what you're talking about here. They traded up. They used way more capital in the long run to draft Trey Lance because they thought he was perfect for their offense. They also drafted Mr. Irrelevant last year, who got pressed into duty. Turned out he could run their offense.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the McCaffrey trade.
No.
They're good with running backs, and Kyle Shanahan still said, oh, here's an opportunity to get someone better than what we have,
yeah,
and they did that.
There's that too, but also like there's the whole position, you know, forget about running back at any position. They said, Mr. Irrelevant looks like he's better at running our offense than Trey Lance. He's got the inside track to be our starter, even though we didn't outlay nearly as much to get him.
Okay, here's another Steelers hypothetical. Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, who does a very good job, writing today that the Commanders are going to probably trade Chase Young, who was the Defensive Player of the Year award winner, and then tore his ACL. And has not been very productive since. And they've given big money to guys on their defensive line already. And they've got a pass rusher who they're going to pay a lot of money to as well. So he thinks he's probably out in Washington. There are now betting odds on this. Where will Chase Young play next? Who will he get traded to? And the Steelers are one of the top five destinations. What's your reaction to that?
I'm very leery of him. 1.5 sacks total in the last two seasons, obviously cut way short by injury. You're going to get so mad at me, but I'll say it anyway.
Yeah.
Now that I've had a knee worked on, I am not a high-level athlete, but I saw the exact same.
I love when you say stuff like this now.
No, I'm not. Oh,
as
no.
a man that has experience
no, I know,
with
but
horrible knee
no, no,
injuries,
no.
let
like,
me...
He tore his ACL up. Kyler Murray tore his up, and he was doing way more advanced stuff than I was doing on this meniscus like 2 weeks after, right? But like what troubled me about Chase Young and what is sticking in my mind while we talk about should the Steelers be sniffing around him is he was wearing the same brace I still have to wear just because I'm a regular average Joe and the doctor wants me to take it slow while he's working out, man. That tells me that a lot of the explosiveness that you would want him to play with is probably not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You play with that. Who are the players on a football team who play with braces?
Offensive linemen, usually.
Why? They don't need to run in a sprint or explode off the line. They need to hold their ground, right? They need stability. I don't want any part of a guy that's still not out of the brace that isn't all the way back. And he's going to want big money, man.
So I still think he has a chance to be a very, very good player,
if not
a great player.
I'm kind of out on him.
However, the reason why I would right now be strongly in the camp that I would not advocate a trade like this is because of what we talked about with Cowherd the other day.
Continued resources on that side of the ball.
Because two things would need to happen if you traded for Chase Young. You need to give up a lot in draft capital, and you would need to pay him. And I'm not interested in doing either of those two things for a defensive player. If you look at the guys that have won Defensive Rookie of the Year, somebody that has that kind of talent and pedigree, who's already shown in his rookie year in 2020 that he can be a great player. Now, you're telling me the injury might be career-changing. Okay. Possible.
Well, if he isn't ditching that, all I want to say about him is very clear. If he's not ditching that brace soon, I'm going to wonder if he's ever going to be the explosive athlete you need to be.
I think Washington's making a mistake giving up on him this fast. I think in the long run, he'll still end up being an all-pro player. But at the Steelers, at some point here, preferably now, need to invest more in their offense and keep great players on their offense by paying them. Bring in great players in the draft and through free agency on that side of the ball. And the more money you invest on defense, the more limited you are in doing that. They need to become more of a balanced team, is what I'm saying. It's out of whack right now. I get it. A lot of their guys are young and still on rookie contracts.
Doesn't mean you don't add talent to them, though.
Yeah. And
like
so,
if they were loaded on offense and had a young, high pedigree draft defense, wouldn't you try to add a veteran defender if there was one available? It would make sense.
Like Detroit is the favorite to get Chase Young. That makes all the sense in the world to me. Their offense scores a bunch of points. They need playmakers on defense. The Steelers, it's the opposite. They've invested a ton on defense. They need to find guys that can get it done on offense. They signed a guard, and they brought in maybe a washed-up wide receiver. They're pretty much telling you they're counting on their own guys to get better this offseason, like Pickens and Pickett.
And I got to stress here, to get him, you are trading and almost certainly then needing to sign him to a big deal.
Yep.
Like, you are committing in multiple avenues on multiple fronts to this man. No way.
Now, would he be your Cam Hayward replacement? I think so. But
is he really that big, though?
I'm not willing. Don't you think he'd play defensive end, or you think he'd play edge?
To me, he's an edge. Would they play a 4-3 in Washington?
Well, then, no, I think they play a 4-3. He plays end there.
He's an outside linebacker in the Steelers system. He's not a defensive end.
Well, then he really
end.
Doesn't make sense, because you've got Highsmith and you've got
Dude, he's listed at 6'5", 250. There's no way he's more than like 260. He's not a 3-4 end.
Okay, so here's the other story today. I mentioned this with Kabali. Baby Gronk. Did you know about this before today? Did you read this article about this kid?
Two things that I did not know existed yesterday morning that I have since learned about and wish I hadn't. Comedian Matt Rife, who apparently is very popular with the ladies of basically above 18 demographic, and then Baby Gronk. I didn't know anything about either one of them, and I wish I'd still did.
So this is a 10-year-old kid who's nicknamed Baby Gronk on social media, who makes $100,000 a year, who has over 300,000 followers, who is a 10-year-old that is being groomed to be the next great tight end in football.
Or just next great football player, I think.
His dad is already quoted in the story as saying he's doing some clean living. 10-year-old. Salmon. Brown rice. He already has him on a football player's diet. He already has taken tours of college football programs. He met Nick Saban. He's gone to LSU. He's taken pictures with Shaq. I mean, he's basically a social media influencer at 10 years old.
And the
dad's our age.
The dad is like very much a Marv Marinovich type, who, you know, was the domineering sports dad for Todd Marinovich, who then burnt out, was into drug addiction, all sorts of stuff. When I read the story, I got real mad because it felt like child abuse right from the jump. Like, you know, we've programmed him since before he was born to be this.
Yep.
What actually made me angrier was the dad seems to understand that his kid being big at 10 years old for his age and eating all this isn't going to even like come close to guaranteeing that he makes it to the NFL.
So he's trying to get him to make all this money
as
now on social media.
Which, even though that's a safer job and a lucrative job, it like bothers me more. You're taking your kid and saying, you aren't a child. You are a physical specimen I am trying to groom before you hit puberty. Oh, and by the way, I don't think you're going to play with other kids. We're going to make sure you're doing all these tailored photo shoot things for the gram. I hate it, dude. It is the ultimate, like, extreme end of living vicariously through a freaking child. I got two. There are a ton of our listeners who have two, three, one, how many ever kids. Usually, a sane, well-adjusted parent wants their kid to be happy and do what's best for them. Find their own interests. It sounds like if this kid had come out of the womb wanting to be anything but a football player, dad would have had a conniption.
I think there are a lot of parents that are the type that are way too hard on their kids as far as already when they're at this age, 10 years old, making them
kids
do
burn
things
out, man.
That are supposedly with the intent to make them scholarship athletes or professional athletes one day.
Are they massaging his hamstrings with milk right now?
Why, is that a thing?
Little Giants spike?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that kind of is what comes to mind, though, now that you say it.
This is just, to me, an extreme example of how the innocence of letting kids enjoy sports when they're that age has been completely lost. And that cat is so far out of that bag, and that genie is so far out of the bottle, that I think there are a lot of parents that do probably even worse than this.
There definitely are.
But haven't figured out a way to monetize it the way this guy has.
Only thing I'll say for the dad is that he claims, and I'll take him at face value, if he is just giving every dime goes to the kid, he says he's an IT guy and a personal trainer, so he makes his money that way. Like, this is a side gig for him that the kid makes all the money off of. If that's true, at least he's setting him up with money.
Yeah, but I still
but, like,
think it's screwed
it
up
sucks.
That your kid has basically been turned into a cash cow that is a promotional thing. That is a money maker.
So what if the kid says on one weekend they've got four trips to different colleges
he doesn't want to do it anymore.
He goes, Dad, I just want to play video games with my buddies and eat like junk food. Then what?
He's not allowed to eat the junk food's out of the question because he's clean foods, salmon and brown rice. He's in a routine.
Again, Marv Marinovich.
Quote, he's a real athlete. Yeah. He's not a normal kid.
Yeah, I'll say, buddy, because of you and not in the way you
he
think.
He has been trained in programs since he was 6 years old. Yeah, he loses me with that quote right there.
What happened to Todd Marinovich? He was an NFL first-round pick, and then his life basically hit the skids.
Well, what happened to like actors like Drew Barrymore? How screwed up was her life?
Zach says this: Baby Gronk, no different than toddlers and tiaras or dance moms. It could be a child labeled as child abuse. I agree. These people are psycho, man. Like, I don't know. I don't think I'm some like awesome parent better than everybody else. I want my two kids to be happy doing what they like to do.
All right, we have two sponsors for this week's edition of the Pony and Muller Power Rankings. The first one being my friends at Mike's Beer Bar. Fan Beer of the Month there tonight. Go get it. Irreverent Warriors is the charity that it benefits. Really good cause. And the other is Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Why pay 40 when you can pay 25? Call 888-98-TWINS. So we have four sets of power rankings. Malzi has the top five.
Portly athletes.
Chubbo, Chubinski, Chabugula athletes of all time.
Mm-hmm. This has been a very tough list to pare down.
Intern Dom, inspired by the NBA and NBC theme, which was played prominently on yesterday's show, will be ranking the top five sports theme songs of all time. Sean Myers, who is one of the best local play-by-play men in Pittsburgh and is producing today's show, will do the top five play-by-play voices in sports right now. And I will, in honor of Donnie Football, I have been ranking the top five bachelor party destinations because he is on a bachelor party in Atlantic City.
Did you hear about, did you get a text from him? Yeah, you were on that text. He said when I said he was eight beers deep and wearing a cutoff shirt that at that very moment, Donnie was in fact eight beers deep and wearing a cutoff shirt.
AC is an honorable mention for me. I did a bachelor party there. I watched a man have his belt ripped off by a stripper where it like
just tore off,
ripped his pants and underwear. Like, it was aggressive. So it was fun, but I wouldn't put it in my top five.
I went to a bachelor party there right after my then girlfriend and I had split up. Mm-hmm. And that is a great place to go if you want to ignore phone calls.
Number five for me, I put Toronto. There's a theme here. I've got two Canadian cities that made the list for me. Toronto's drivable. There's a lot to do there. It's a big city, but it doesn't overwhelm you like New York. All kinds of great restaurants, bars, high-end gentlemen's clubs like the Brass Rail. You also have more blue-collar gentlemen's clubs like Zanzibars, which is another one of my favorites. So I'm going to say Toronto 5. Number 4, New Orleans. I got married there. I party there. I've been to New Orleans a bunch. You can't go wrong with Bourbon Street. You've got Hurricanes,
Pat O'Brien's.
I was just going to say that. Hand grenades.
We're old Malzi.
Beads.
Dude.
Awesome food. Party nonstop. Places don't shut down.
The best food in the country.
Number 4, New Orleans. Bachelor party destinations.
Beignets.
By the way, there's a new number 1 for me that we're going to get to. Number 1 from past list in my head has been knocked off. Number 3 is Montreal. Now, people are asking, why Montreal? One of the best strip club cities in America. Is
it's
right
not
up
in
there,
America.
Or in North America. Thank you, Malzi, on the continent. Maybe in the entire world is Montreal. Barry Bonds, I think, met two wives there. That tells you everything you need to know. First wife, I think, was a dancer in Montreal. And I think he said, well, there are things I liked about that. Let me try it a second time. Montreal. Yes, I think Sun Street is the name of the famous district. Drinks are cheap.
Where the flashes are very bright.
There's a European vibe to it. I like Montreal. Mm. Number 2 is Vegas. Enough said. I don't need to say much more about that. Used to be number 1 Vegas. You know what I got knocked off by? Because I had never been there until last year.
Wheeling.
Nashville.
Really?
You know why?
Bachelorette parties.
Exactly. Best of both worlds. Everybody is there for the same thing. And both wedding parties are probably thinking the same thing. So why not? Live it up. Get after it. Last time. Then get on with your
lives. Man, I feel like
Toronto, New Orleans, Montreal, Vegas, and Nashville, my top five.
I feel like in Nashville, you've got a lot of bachelor parties. And like, if there are single groomsmen and bridesmaids,
bingo.
There's a lot of hooking up going on. You'll never see each other again. Boom.
All right, give me chunky athletes, Malzi.
This was one hell of a list to make. Number five, the greatest chunky athletes of all time. Caveat here, if their job was being chunky, a lineman, they're not eligible. Number five, a man named Leon White. You'd know him more as Big Van Vader.
He
was 400 pounds. He wore a bondage mask. He did moonsaults off the top rope.
Sean, what do you make of this selection?
There has never been a better true super heavyweight in wrestling history than Vader.
Yeah, Vader was pretty legit. He was before his time, certainly. And he was a guy that if you stiffed him, you would get it back twice as hard.
Stiffing, of course, Dom, if you don't watch pro wrestling, means you actually hit them.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Thank you for clarifying.
And if you hit somebody and like punch them when you're not supposed to, that's called potatoing a guy. Roman Reigns.
Potatoing a guy?
It was Braun Strowman literally elbowed Brock Lesnar right in the face by accident, or kneed him in the face, like legitimately. Lesnar just got up and socked him right in the mouth.
By the way, this doesn't feel right dry, so I'm going to give you some music here. Keep going.
Thank you. This is a song that number four on this list has absolutely had sex while listening to. John Daly. Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods himself has said that John Daly has way more natural ability than me. And Tiger Woods is right. The guy bombs the ball with a ridiculously like high wire act swing.
He loves Hooters. He loves Diet Coke. He loves M&Ms.
M&Ms, all that stuff. Loves absolutely ripping darts on the course. Both throat hitting at pins and cigarettes. The guy is one of the most naturally gifted golfers, maybe the most to ever live. He's number four.
And one of America's sweethearts, John Daly.
There's no doubt. Number three on my list, a true dancing bear of the backfield and a local hero to boot. Win one for the bus, Jerome Bettis.
No list would have been – you couldn't have done a list.
Has there ever been
him.
A more unique running back in NFL history? He was listed at 5'11", 252. Now, listed heights and weights are very funny. Tino Cinceri was listed at 6'2", 210. He might be 5'10 and a half from my recollection. If Bettis was playing a pound under 280 at running back, I won't believe it.
So Bettis is not one on this list.
No, you'll be surprised maybe at number one. Number two was a tough choice. I had a bunch of different names go through my mind. I was going to go gimmicky again here, but I'm not. How could I leave off a man who was named the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley, who not only was a little portly for his position,
you think,
but was playing like 6 or 7 inches undersized against other power forwards. He might have been 6'4 and a half, and he was a bit heavy, and he dominated. I don't care that he never won a title. He's making big bank from FanDuel off of that whole concept.
Uh-huh.
The number one greatest portly athlete of all time. I've said that this man would get whiffed on three pitches by Adam Ottavino, and he would because he wasn't used to playing against guys like Ottavino. It doesn't matter. It's Babe Ruth.
Yep.
The guy existed on hot dogs and cheap lager.
Missed almost an entire year because he had a stomach ache from eating too many hot dogs. True story.
Just imagine that. You had so many pork missiles that it kept you out. Number five.
And was always getting laid somehow.
Well, I think the money had to do with that. He looked like Baby Huey.
He looked like Fozzie Bear.
Thank you for the Leonard Skinner. Greatest portly athletes. Number five, Big Van Vader. Number four, John Daly. Number three, Jerome Bettis. Two, Charles Barkley. And one, George Herman, Babe Ruth.
Now we have our guy, Sean Myers, who is one of the great play-by-play men in
who
all...
told you that, by the way?
What's that?
That I was one of the great play-by-play men.
That's what I've heard. You don't like that?
I think it's another, accurate. I was just wondering.
I can give you another
that.
Title. Are you going to put yourself in the top five?
No,
top
five I just missed
play
the
play-by-play voices?
I am not in there, but I went a little under the radar. I didn't go with some of the most traditional guys, so I
are
think both of
like
you
that,
might
Malzi?
Appreciate this, though.
Yeah, I like any time, especially Sean's filling in, and he's trying to go the extra mile. I love that.
Okay, who's five?
Okay, so I think this is a guy that some would have number one. I had to drop him down a little bit. I think he has lost a step, but he's still a legend, Kevin Harlan.
He is the
right
best.
Between the eyes.
He is by far the best play-by-play guy at narrating things when they go off the rails. Squirrel on the field, streaker. If something weird but funny is happening, I want Harlan on the call.
He also does the most detailed radio play-by-play
call. He throws a high-arching spiral between the numbers down the three. He's streaking over the back. I don't know how he doesn't trip over himself, right. But it's impressive.
Okay, this one I think you guys maybe have heard of. The general public probably did not. But I told you I'm a Seattle Mariners fan. Their play-by-play guy, not the one you're thinking of, is also going national a little bit. He's terrific. Aaron Goldsmith, who was just featured with a great story in The Athletic.
Oh, no. I don't think Zangrilli's ever going to talk to you again.
Does he hate him?
There's a beef between those two going back to their Eastern League days together.
Oh, throw away the record books when Goldsmith and Zangrilli get together.
Just like Sean's rivalry with Pat McAfee.
Oh.
Pat McAfee's getting all this money. He's not getting any love from Sean Myers going back to their Plum days together.
Those Plum rivalries run real deep.
Many, many moons ago, yes.
Three?
Number three is Brian Anderson. I think he's a guy that's going to continue to rise up these rankings.
Can't stand him. I think he's about as cookie-cutter play-by-play voice as you find. Uh-oh. Nothing sticks out to me about Brian Anderson. He gets a lot of big games, NCAA tournament, NBA,
I couldn't
baseball
pick his,
playoffs.
Sean, I'm not trying to crush you here. I usually reserve that for Dom in these lists. I can't think of Brian Anderson right now in my head. I can't hear his voice.
He did the Yordan Alvarez walk-off against the Mariners last year.
Well, that was before the pitch clock, so I wasn't
also,
watching baseball.
Yeah, you're watching that because you're a Mariners fan because of Ken Griffey Jr. and very few other people are. So
true. All right.
Number two is probably the voice of the NBA, Mike Breen.
I like
bang!
He could be the voice of the AVN Awards with that catchphrase.
No argument here. Who's won?
Ian Eagle.
Oh. Greg Finley right now is listening to this show, and he just stood up, even if he's in his car, applauding right there. I'm going to give
if
you...
If he can stand up, he's so excited.
I was just going to say.
Something in his pants is probably preventing him from doing so.
What?
Man, some big names
what
did not make
be?
The list.
Sean.
How about Dan Schulman? That's a name
no
I really
Al
wanted
Michaels?
To hear.
Where's Joe Buck?
Al Michaels sucks anymore.
Al Michaels hello, sucks. Friends?
I don't
Nance,
think that
Mike
Joe
Tirico?
Buck should be on that list anymore. I mean, he just comes across.
Oh, my Lord.
He's
you
not
like
interesting
him.
To me.
Joe Buck.
I think Dan
too smug.
I think Dan Schulman's the best guy going as far as versatility. You know who I would also nominate? Because I think this guy does the greatest straight man routine to a goofball partner, Dave Pasch. Dave Pasch out there with Walton. Walton's talking about peyote, ayahuasca. And Dave Pasch, just after a 2-minute rant about like water rights, goes. And that's a three, UCLA up 62-59.
All right, so Dom has the top five sports themes of all time. Here is number five.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the best thing Fox does with football.
How can you not get pumped?
No, I think this is the best. I think this is a really good one. Of all the modern themes, I think this is the best one. I think it's very funny, though. The funniest application is when a player gets hurt, which is like 10 times a
and
game.
And they have the sad version of it.
They have what I call the Tom Rinaldi version. Somebody got out there on a piano and played it nice and soft.
Here's four. I don't like the way they've modernized it. This is the new version of the NCAA tournament theme. I like the old one on CBS.
It picks up. Ready? Oh, here we go.
Still not good enough.
Here we go.
They took a great thing and
they bastardized it. Yeah, they screwed it up. In principle, I want to give the old version the nod here at being a good number four, but I'm with Pony there.
Here's three. No.
There's a generational divide here. This is too new.
This makes me think of a big game, prime time. I have school the next day, but I don't care. Football!
No, I don't like it.
I'm more of a Monday Night Football theme guy.
Jeez.
Here's two.
How is this not number one? You want to talk about a generational divide. I didn't grow up listening to this song.
You don't need to.
But listen to this, dude. It's perfect.
You know what I want to do?
I have it at two.
I want to get that app where you can like request songs on jukeboxes at other bars.
Oh, I do that.
And just play round ball rock for people.
What's the biggest hockey bar in the city? Like a place where everyone gathers still to watch hockey.
That's a good question.
Remember the old like Blue Line Grill or whatever? Can you imagine just on a Penguins game there's a jukebox and they're piping it out? And will you just play Round Ball Rock for 2 hours
straight? All
right,
here's Dom's number one sports theme song.
Oh, I hate this.
What? Come on, guys.
Yeah, you really screwed this one up, Dom.
Sucks. This makes you think of Crosby.
Sean, do you
have any
respect for this list?
It makes me practically think of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
I want to put some pads on.
Number five could have been number one in my estimation.
So could number two.
And this doesn't even come close to the NHL on ESPN theme, which is...
Now that's so overrated. Oh, my God. So overrated. Give me a break.
Oh, is that a terrible one?
I thought this was going to be a list that had a ton of potential, and I clearly was
wrong.
Well,
hold on a second.
I thought it was one you couldn't screw up. I thought it was screw-up proof, and Dom found a way to butcher it.
Oh, he found that screwdriver and started turning. Dom... I don't know, Pony. What's worse, this or his Memorial Day foods?
I think this is actually worse.
Well, let me
it's
ask,
hideous.
Did I leave anything off that's glaring?
NHL,
yes, Monday
ESPN,
Night Football
Monday
theme
Night
song.
Football.
I thought about it.
I think the old NFL on NBC theme was pretty good, like back in the day.
This is the NBC NFL theme.
Live and learn. Can't get them all right, Dom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.